All right. I hope that was enough saxophone for you. It's the World Saxophone Quartet with I Heard That. This is from their 1989 album, Rhythm and Blues. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and I hope all went well for you over the weekend and you got some sleep in the middle of all the craziness happening and ready to pick up from where we left off on Friday. Well, the country is in full swing with the Republican National Convention and what is supposed to happen there. And that's the topic we'll be taking a look at, but only in the sense that we are anticipatory today with regard to the Republican National Convention and their turn at bat. As you know, this is the ritual that the country goes through. We had just completed the Democratic National Convention, and we had some thoughts about that. And now the Republicans are up at bat. They are having their convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. It ends on the 27th of August, but it starts today. So, and of course, the same thing as with the Democratic Convention. You're going to see a constant parade of high-profile Republicans making all kinds of claims and making their points, trying to persuade the voting public that they are the better choice, trying to persuade Republicans that they are the same choice, the best choice, and that it is imperative to return Donald Trump to the presidency if we know what's good for us. Well, I don't know about that. But it is their turn at bat, and it is convention season. Now, our exercise today is simply to get the lay of the land. What is the lay of the land with the Republican National Convention being staged? What is the atmosphere? How will it affect, you think? How will it affect the offerings we will get at the convention? In what ways do you think the Republicans will try to affect public understanding of the party and of its figurehead, Donald Trump? What is working for them? What do they have going for them as incentives in terms of people's tendencies to look to the Republican Party as a solution, a political solution to governance in the country? And the flip side of that coin, what at this time works against the Republican Party and any pleas that it would make to garner support, political support, to reinstate the political party? That's what we're looking at. Now, when I say that we're looking for analysis of it, it is not really for us to comment and predict this is what's going to happen. We're looking to take a sober analysis of what is happening. What is happening in this time that we're in that could or would affect the outcome of this convention? If the outcome of the convention is to persuade Americans as they cast their votes to strongly consider supporting the Republican Party, what is working for the party in that regard, and what is working against the party in that regard. Okay, so that's what we're looking for. We understand what conventions are for. I had to remind a caller in, when the Democrats were having their convention, that it is not a wartime. It is not a fight. They're just conventions. And as with most conventions, it is about making the case, making the argument to the voting public that here are the reasons, the many, 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 many reasons why the party is to be the party of choice if you know what you're doing. If you're a smart and savvy voter, these are the things that you would consider as you cast your vote to support the party. Keep in mind, again, it's a convention. It's a gathering of members of the party, party officials, candidates for the party, and so forth. They're getting together to discuss among themselves where the party ought to go. Of course, most everybody would say, well, we ought to be elected. But they make the case to the public. It's not supposed to be a fight. It's not supposed to be a bashing of the other party or even of each other. It is simply to make the case. We'll see how they do that, whether they pass muster on that count. But that essentially is the reason conventions are held, to introduce the voting public to some of the high-profile candidates or high-profile fights that they expect to have later on in particular districts, and why these contests are particularly important to win. So when we were doing the same thing with the Democratic Party, we had people who were a little confused. They thought this was going to be the start of the fight. No, it's not. It is simply about introducing the candidates, introducing the concepts that the party wants the public to have as they consider their vote, if they're considering to vote for the Republican Party at all, and to appreciate from the party's point of view what the advantage is in voting Republican. That's all it is. So you take that with as large a grain of salt as you can find in your kitchen, because whether it's Democrats or Republicans, they all are singing the same song. We are the best. Elect us. We know what we're doing. We have the right combination of people, the right combination of skills to keep the country steady and in good shape for prosperity, all of that kind of stuff. But keep that in mind. It is not supposed to be, let me put it that way, it is not supposed to be a fight among candidates or between parties. And one party bashing the other party that has just completed its convention, and now it's the Republicans' turn, and the Republicans will do the same thing, bash the Democrats. No, it's not supposed to be that way. If it is that way, then it's a wrong thing. It's a bad thing. And it will reflect poorly on the party holding the convention. They're supposed to have this thing under some heavy manners, and they're supposed to concentrate instead on telling the public all the good things the party has done, all the good things the party will continue to do. The challenges before the party and the nation that the party is well equipped to handle and will continue to handle, to inspire confidence in the voting public, and to do everything in their power to persuade the public that if and when they cast their vote, keep the party in mind. Because with another 4 years of whichever party, whether it's 4 years of the Democrats or 4 years of the Republicans, each party would argue, if you vote for the party, you're making the right choice. Of course, you know, this is just talking. But we will see how they make their case today as the Republicans open their convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. You should have a very unemotional involvement in this. Don't take anything personally. Don't succumb to the power of the arguments. They may have no argument at all. And that's what it is we're going to be focusing on today. As they open their convention, what is the climate here? What does the Republican Party believe that it has as a legitimate basis to lay claim to the White House and to Congress? All right, so we have the parameters out there. I don't want you to mistake it, as somebody did during the Democratic convention, that this is a war. It's not. If that's your reading, then you have misread it. Just take it for whatever it is. Don't get too excited. But listen to what they say they are about. And what are the contradictions that we readily can see to call into question the legitimacy of their claims? But all we're doing is observing. Observing with a keen eye and with a certain amount of history that we can draw on to contradict or to challenge their claims. Okay, so those are the basic rules today as the Republican Party again begins its convention. It is beginning to make the case formally over the next 4 days, that he returned to power, and they are the better choice for all Americans to make. Now, the number to call is 888-874-4888. I'm looking for your analytical mind now. Your analytical mind is what we want to see pop up and give us a whole different point of reference on what is likely to happen during this convocation. 888-874-4888. Again, it's not a fight between the parties, and so don't make it one. When they start fighting, you'll know. These are the preambles. This is making the general case, although using specific examples as to why. If you are a keen voter, a smart voter, a conscientious voter, you would choose this party. The Democrats already have made their case to say, if you are a keen voter and a conscientious voter, this is the party you would choose, and here are the many, many reasons why. And even so, you should really take everything they say with a grain of salt. All right. So let's see what you have to say today. Let me go through my list here. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Trace, how's it going?
Okay, how's by you?
All right. I'm hearing a crackling sound on my end. Do you hear it on your end?
You hearing what?
Like a crackling sound.
I've been trying to figure out what is going on with our sound for a while, but I'm not hearing a crackling sound.
Okay, I will just push on because I'm hearing a crackling sound, but I mean I can still talk and understand what you're saying. So, in regards to this week's Republican convention, the one advantage the Republicans have is the advantage of going second. They have been able, they are now able to kind of make, and not in a like you said, not in a war strategy type of thing, but they are able to make counterpoints to what the Democrats said last week. So the strategy of coming second has always been the advantage to somebody. Well, you know, if they take advantage of it. So I think that is one advantage they have. The disadvantage.
Good point.
The disadvantage that I see with this convention is their lineup of speakers. And I see, and the Democratic convention had it as well. They had a bunch of non-elected officials, you know, speaking on behalf of the party. But with this one, they have about the same amount, or I think maybe even more. But then there's also the issue of Trump's family. And there's a lot of them who are speaking this week. So that right there is a huge disadvantage when it comes to nepotism, you know, and being in that sense of, you know, why do we got to hear Trump's son-in-law and Trump's son and Trump's, you know, grandma or whatever, whoever's speaking, you know, but there just doesn't seem to be a lot of
Trump.
There just doesn't seem to be a lot of elected Republican officials speaking this week. So that's kind of a...
Now, what is the significance of that to your mind? What is the significance of the lineup?
Well, the significance is that if you have more elected officials speaking, that is the, you know, technically that is supposed to be the voice of the people. I'm saying this analytically. I know I have my opinions on this, and
yes.
I'm trying not to express that right now because that's what you don't want. But it's supposed to express the voice of the people when you have more elected officials speaking at the convention than just appointments. Because when you're talking about appointments, you're talking about people that the president has chosen. And I know it's a secondhand type of voice of the people, but still, you know, you have a lot of voters out there who are still kind of undecided. They may be Republican, you know, they may list themselves as Republican or Republican leaning, but, you know, with what has gone on, you know, in the last year, you know, a lot of people, including people who follow the Republicans, may be concerned about, you know, what the president has done in regards to his work. I mean, we all know what he's done, but, you know, you might have some who are right-leaning, but, you know, when you don't have enough elected officials, you know, speaking at it, you know, you're not really giving voice to the people, because that's the people who voted, you know, that they were voted by the people.
Okay, twist it a little bit and tell us the implication of so many Trumps on the lineup.
What? Say that again? I couldn't hear you.
What is the implication of so many Trumps, of having so many Trumps in the lineup?
Well, the implication is that, I guess the implication is that you're appointing people that are not qualified. You're appointing people because they're part of your family.
Go ahead a little bit more.
And I guess when you're talking about, and especially a guy like Trump, who was touted as a great businessman, you know, businesses don't run efficiently unless you have the qualified people in place.
Well, what I was hoping you would say is that it suggests, just on the face of it, the country is Trump's personal country.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That does come through.
Yeah, like a monarchy.
Yeah. Yes, we are running the country. This is our country.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're really here to discuss is you giving us the blessing again to run the country. Look, all of these Trumps, you're right about that. This is a very important point that you're making. And it is more serious than they think. They think that they're showing their power. But really, it could be that they are offending people by saying, hey, this is our country. We own it. We're running it. And you're just here to, you know, press buttons and say, yes, go ahead and do another 4 years of it. That is extremely significant. You hit on a great point. And you've got to start it the right way. Thank you so much, Henry, for calling in today.
All right, thank you.
Tony from Orlando, you're on the air.
Hi, Therese. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Henry, you and Henry pretty much almost got to where my point was going to be, where if we look back at the two parties that we have, the Democrat Party pretty much is the same party from Obama's administration. While if you look at the Republican Party, Donald Trump has managed to take it over. He has completely hijacked the party. And that's why you have so many disaffected Republicans now trying to attach themselves to Joe Biden's campaign. And that, to me, is the difference between the two conventions. Before listening to your show, I had the opportunity to listen to some of the convention on C-SPAN radio. And I heard, I mean, from the little bit I was able to take, I noticed that he's still with this divisive rhetoric and talking only to his base. And that is the difference between what you see, what we saw last week, where the Democrat Party tried to show like a diverse coalition versus what we're going to see this week, which is trying to strengthen the base. And that's why you're seeing so much Trump.
Well, great points. But I need you to just go a little bit further on both of them. The first one, where you said that it gives the appearance that Trump has taken the party over.
Yes, he has. Yeah, temporarily, at least. Temporarily. There's a lot of people.
Go ahead.
There's a lot of these Republicans that are going along to get along. You have a lot of them that are like that. There's a lot of them that are completely on the Trump train. Well, I believe there's a lot of them that are just going along to just get along, like Mitch McConnell could be one of them, even though he's, you know, who he is. But I believe he's a different type of Republican than Trump is. But that's why you saw people like Paul Ryan and those types. They all left the camp because they can't stand Trump. So a lot of the Republicans, they left the party last year. That was one of the reasons why the Democrat Party was able to win back the House, was because there were so many Republicans that pretty much retired or resigned. and didn't run for re-election. So that was part of the reason why the Democrats were able to win the House. But, yep.
Well, your point underscores Henry's point. He says too many Trumps. They're just in the lineup. There are just too many Trumps. And that appears to be sending a message that that's exactly what they want to communicate. Yes. This is the Trump Party.
Yep, and that's exactly what they're going to communicate. But I believe that the Democrat Party has an advantage if they stop stepping on people's toes, like, you know, on the left wing of the party. That's something that that has me worried, because they have a broader coalition, but I believe last week Joe Biden said something disavowed one of the progressives on the camp. I believe her name is Sassauer.
Yes,
and she was even in the convention. And I mean, why would he do that? But if they would just stop doing that and just build a true coalition that is more diverse and more including, they have an opportunity to defeat Trump. Unfortunately, it seems as if they maybe don't want to really win. I'm not sure, because Trump is basically only talking to his base. And unless you are against immigration and all those checkpoints down the list of things that Trump and his base wants, you're not going to vote for that guy.
Now, your 2 points are right on the money here. I want you to talk about this second point of talking, or seemingly talking, only to his base. How could that work against him?
It's going to work against
the convention.
Is going to work against them because you're not. The purpose of the convention is to convince people to jump on the train, to get aboard, and excite the country, and to show that he's going to be the president of the country and not of the people. That's why a lot of these candidates that run these negative ads, like Hillary Clinton did the last time around, they don't negative ads. I don't know. The politicians love to run negative ads, but it throws me off. You know, when I see too many negative ads, I don't like it. I like to see positive ads, even if they're fake promises or whatever. I feel better when I see a positive ad than when I do see a negative ad. And if he's only going to talk to his base and only cite the things that his, I'm going to say white supremacist base likes, they like things that go against me. So I'm not going to join that, coalition, because there's a lot of things in that platform that hurts me as an individual. So talking to his base is not going to convince me to vote for him this time around.
Wow. Look at how much we have gotten in the way of education from just talking to two people, and they're right on the money. All right, let's keep it going with Ed from Jamaica. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Utrice. How are you?
Okay, Ed, how are you doing?
You know, me and my sons.
You and your sons.
Always, me and my sons. I got to disagree with you, though. This, as far as the Republican convention is concerned, this is a war, and you basically hit on it. It's the Republican Party and Donald Trump. And Donald Trump and his family have stamped their identity on this convention. He's going, allegedly, he's going to be speaking every night. It's going to be wrapped around his daughter. His wife is going to be speaking. He's the identity of the Republican Party as it stands now. And the Republican Party really doesn't have a face because he's the incumbent. Now, the only thing that works in his advantage at this time is the Electoral College. This is still a numbers game. This is still key states that have to, and a select group of individuals that can come out and make this man win the presidency again. absencing the Republican Party, which is what Trump supporters are absent of. They look at themselves as Trumps. They don't look at themselves as Republicans. And the true Republicans that are still trying to stay with the party don't know how to cope with him because they're old and they're out of date and they don't have any real message. So it's either fish or cut bait. And that's what a lot of Republicans have done. They've cut bait and they've went over to the Democratic side or they just opted out completely and stuck their heads in the sand and wait till this thing blows over. But the war is between what the remnants of the Republican Party and what Donald Trump is. And if Donald Trump does manage to pull this off, the Republican Party is a forgotten memory. And we've got a serious issue.
Wow. Wow. Now, that is deep. I'm stunned by our analysis that we're getting here today. And I think it's all on the money. People are zeroing in on these critical points. How will the party faithful as a whole receive these messages? Would they be happy about what is happening, or will they move away from the party? Would these things cause people to kind of move away and say, look, I understand that things must change, but not this way. This is a coup.
Well, you know, we've talked before and on your show, and basically I believe this is the death of party politics in America. I don't find any type of shining star or moral high ground that either of the parties can take. And as far as Trump is concerned, his, for lack of a better word, personality has overwhelmed the old guard of the Republican Party. And they're either going along with him or they're just completely disassociating themselves with the party altogether and becoming political independents on the sea. And a lot of, and most of the, and since, quite frankly, the Trump administration is, in my opinion, a criminal administration, those who see the end coming or don't believe that he's going to win are basically just severing their nest and hedging their bets for when things do hit the, when the proverbial crap hits the fan, that they'll be covered. And this is all duck and cover, duck and cover. He's got no people of any real integrity, positive or negative. So it's just a bunch of guys, yes men, who are ducking and covering. And the sad part about it is, if there was really someone who was dynamic, if there was really a group of individuals who were a dynamic political force and speaking to the people, now would be an opportune time to start something. Bernie Sanders had the opportunity and he blew it. And, you know, AOC and all the rest of them, I don't know why they just, you know, just don't take the lead if you really got your ear to what the people want. The people want health care. The people want a UAI. The people want relief. And nobody's listening to the people. They're just playing this Beltway BS.
Well, thank you, Professor. That was right on point. Thanks a lot for calling in and contributing. Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrecht, and good afternoon to the PRN family.
Thank you. Good afternoon to you.
And I hope all is well. You know, the purpose of the RNC convention tonight with Trump is to make certain that his very, very small base, which continues to shrink in terms of numbers, that they are secured. Trump knows that this, as Ed said, that this is an electoral college, this is a numbers game. And as long as he can secure and make certain that that small base is reliable and dependable, if he does that, then he is successful. You know, they don't want change. And what's notable about this is that if you remember the position, say, of not only Paul Ryan or all of those leaders now, the top Republicans, Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham, if you remember prior to Trump winning the presidency, their opinions of him, they were quite negative. They called him a liar. They called him a narcissist. and then they capitulated. And that is what is critical about what's happening now. All of those people who pre-elected Trump said that he was no good, they not only have they capitulated, they've literally turned over control of what remnants of the Republican Party exist. So now this is really Trump's party. So as long as he is able to make certain that that small base not only is reliable, but comes out to vote, that's all he needs to do.
So what does that send, if any? What signal does it send to the Democrats?
Well, let me tell you something. Something interesting happened last week. I got two surveys in the mail. One was from the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, and that's Nancy Pelosi, and the other one was from Charles Schumer, who is my state senator. And they talked about, they outlined all the issues that the Democrats have identified as being significant and important. And you know what was missing from both surveys? Anything having to do with police brutality, killing of blacks and brown people, anything having to do with social justice, with racial inequality and racial injustice. And I said to myself, are these people serious? People around the world have been in the streets, and the one issue that has been uppermost on people's minds is absent from two surveys. You know, the Democrats, you know, they know how to lose an election because Joe Biden is not what anybody would call an energetic and enthusiastic candidate. But at least give the people what you think the people want. And they can't even do that.
So whereas, in your view, the Democrats are going for volume, the Republicans are quite content to keep what they have, the smaller, let's say a smaller crowd, but it is, for their purposes, the right crowd. They are Trump people.
I am so sorry. It is a small but reliable and dependable crowd. They will come out. The issue that the Democrats have right now is they could not even showcase progressives in a significant way last week. Even to make people feel that they were going through the motions, they couldn't even do that.
Wow. I'm stunned that everybody has this thing understood. They've got it understood. And it leads me to ask the question, how is it that regular people, I mean, you're not paid consultants or anything like that, and you can zero in right everyone so far, every call we've had so far has zeroed in on a critical element of the scenario that we will be facing and are facing currently. Why don't the Democrats get it?
Because they're not serious. They're not serious. This is not about the people. I mean, this is, you know, they're just the opposite end of the spectrum of the Republicans, because this is not about the people.
It's about competing interests.
It's about competing interests.
Wow. Thank you very much, Patricia. We always learn a lot from you. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Take care. Jerry from New York, you're on the air.
Patrice, how are you?
Okay, I could barely hear you, though.
Oh, okay. Hold on a sec. Oh, here we go. Can you hear me now?
Oh, no, I can't hear you. Oh.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, hi. Just to comment about your two previous callers, that they kind sometimes you need to step back and hear yourself. One caller said that he, even if it's a positive, basically a positive commercial about a political commercial, basically could be a lie just to play into the base, like your previous caller said.
But wait a minute. Let me stop you right here. It is not about critiquing callers because that gets personal. That's not what we're about.
Okay.
It was clearly asked, how do you assess the situation? Not the callers, the situation as it stands.
What I see is that there's records to go on. Kamala Harris doesn't have a good record. Biden has an even worse record.
How do you mean she doesn't have a good record of what?
Her prosecutions, how she was, well, for the progressives, she was so...
Have you studied it? Have you studied her record?
I've gone through a lot of it. She's extremely progressive now, but was not when she first got in, and kind of like has sold herself out.
So what?
Kind of
you become... were younger 10 years ago, you're older 10 years later. So everybody changes. Everybody goes through... I mean, the expectation, and it is troublesome, where people have this idyllic expectation that people are to be perfect, then they don't change. This is life.
Now, yeah, I don't
know. You might have been blonde 10 years ago. Okay. Now you prefer to wear dark hair. Does that mean something? No.
No, I believe people can change and evolve. But as a moderate, you do not have a progressive stance in the position she takes. She was deemed the most leftist progressive senator. Biden's records and, you know, his connection to the KKK guy and all these other things.
Yeah, but you're making this, you're not understanding what we are here to do today.
Well,
you want to fight. We're not interested in fighting today. We're interested in what is the situation at ground level that could possibly affect how things go in the next couple of days. I'm not interested in critiquing any particular candidate. Have I done that? No.
Well, I think there aren't funds on Donald Trump's record. Sign a bill for transparency.
You're breaking up. I cannot hear you. I'm so sorry. Try it again. No, I'm not hearing anything. Let me ask the engineer, are you hearing anything? Okay. The engineer says he's not hearing you and he'll have to move on. Thank you. We have to get to the bottom of this. Why is it that things are so fragmented in some ways. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air. Hello, David. Okay. Woolly from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
I respect you. Good afternoon, beloved. Can you hear me?
Good afternoon, Woolly. Yes, I can hear you.
I respect you. Listen,
you.
The advantage of the Republican Party, even though it's their one party, but the advantage that they have, this nation, and the so-called president is showing the advantage he has over everybody else.
He's not the so-called president. He's a president.
Well, I'm using his term.
So, No. He's the president of the United States.
Okay.
Not a so-called president.
But that's, I learned that from him, you see.
But
anyway.
It doesn't
anyway.
Matter.
Okay. All right. Listen. In my judgment, the advantage is he's the best. He's showing the world. He's the best president of this country because he's exposing to the world what America really is. The other presidents before him, they had covert operations. Napoli is doing nothing different than anyone before him, in my judgment, considering the history of this nation, particularly for black people, because now they are now.
Okay. Hold on for a second.
Yes.
You know what the exercise is today?
Yes.
The exercise is what
advantage.
The scenario at this point when they are beginning their convention.
Yes.
What is evidencing itself that could tell us a thing or two as to how this would go, how it would end up?
Well, I can't answer that because I don't follow that kind of stuff. I don't know because I wouldn't even have an opinion.
You can't tell what is going on in current affairs, how the administration is conducting business. You can't see anything in terms of policy that might now show up in the convention itself as a point of contention that would somehow color the whole of the convention.
Well, you've done many programs on it.
I'm asking you. You don't see anything at all about the link between what has gone on before, what is going to happen now, the way the direction things are going in?
Well, we know what that administration represents. All of these guys, they're going to jail, and that's what it represents.
No, we don't know. You can't say we all know. You haven't done a survey of everybody.
Oh, okay. Most of us, the listeners of PR.
Even so,
know
you
that.
Can't say most of us. You can say, you know, what I'm trying to ask you to do.
Okay.
Is to not generalize and make it the point. It is not the right way to go.
Okay. From my perspective, then. These guys. It's something. I get offended just even listening to it. And you know, I love your program. I get really very offended. To be honest, I'm not being disrespectful. But I get offended. I take an offense to it because these people, they just boggle my mind. They're so-called Republican and Democrat because from what my understanding, it's just one party. They're just playing a game to make us think we have democracy. It's one party.
Okay, you're straying all over the place. It's a very simple question that I wanted you to address today.
Yes.
Given the Republicans are beginning their convention today, it will end on Thursday. The Democrats have already had their convention, and we had a chance to discuss what they are likely to zero in on as their strong points for winning the White House. What could you say on the flip side from what we have seen? What are the Republicans' arguments what are they trying to persuade us about them that they deserve to hold on to power?
That we're not thinking. That's all. That we're not thinking.
Then they're trying to persuade us that we're not thinking?
Yes, because we shouldn't have them in the first place, from my standpoint.
But you're not offering an analysis. I'm trying to from you an analysis. You can't say they are telling us that we're not thinking. They're not. They're not telling us we're not thinking. That's the fact.
They may not be saying those words, But from my analysis, that's exactly what they're saying. I will be saying.
Okay.
All right.
No, it's not all right because you still are not addressing the question. It is a straightforward question. What is it that you suspect the Republicans will point to as strong points to convince people that they are the best choice or the better choice for the White House to hold on to another 4 years of power?
Well, I can't answer that because I have no clue. I pay no attention to that stuff. Maybe I called the wrong time. That's what I did. Please accept my apologies, all right?
The what?
Please accept my apologies. Maybe I should have let somebody else call. Because I can't answer that because I pay no attention to that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, that was the stuff we started with today. We were very clear about the stuff we started with today.
Yes, Your Chief. What I said, my analysis is that there's this strong point that they have made. They've opened this nation to what many people around the world are blind to. Now they're
yes, but that is not the analysis that applies. The analysis we are looking for, if you are offering one, the analysis is related to the question asked. What points are the Republicans making, as you see it? What points are they making to convince voters that they deserve 4 more years of control in this country?
None. None. I can't make any point, you two.
Okay.
Everything is being dismantled. The post of everything is being going bad. People are losing their jobs, their homes. They're about to dismantle the post. What good? What could they point to if any good to anybody?
But it's not what can they point. You see, you're not listening. It's a really important point to listen. What are the Republicans saying? That's the question. What are the Republicans saying? What are their arguments to justify 4 more years of power? That's the question.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I'm so sorry. I don't know because I don't listen to them. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for calling in.
All right.
David from Brooklyn, you're on the air. David, are you back with us? Okay. David has not been able. I have to say something to the engineer. We're getting a lot of basically a lot of reference to the fact that people are not hearing. I told you that it's just not working the way it ought to work. A lot of people talking about crackling sounds and strange things happening on air, and losing people. David was supposed to be with us. He's not with us. And we have to really do a very close examination of what is going on with our sound. So could we do that and definitively solve this problem? Because it's irritating to me that we are held hostage by bad sound. Okay, we have come to the end of the program, just the same. But I am completely in awe of your responses today, because they're right on the money, and they are deeper, much deeper than any political analysis that I have heard, you know, being flung around as really deep analysis. You've gone several layers even below that to get at the root of issues, and you've done it very, very well. You've done a fantastic job, and that's what we're supposed to do. Never mind what is reported as the news. We have information that we ourselves can make use of to help us understand the reality that we're in. Where are things likely to go? What kinds of policy decisions are likely to come out of this convention? And you nailed it. You nailed it excellently, I should have said. I really, really appreciate the effort that you made, and I thank you for honoring the program with your intellect that way. Thanks so much. We'll see each other again tomorrow. We have much more to discuss because this is going to get really deep.